If you're just starting a company for the first time, you'll find out soon enough that it involves much more than just having a great idea. It turns out entrepreneurs need legal advice to navigate business organization law, to figure out what exact business structure meets their needs and what the legal requirements are for the particular structure they implement. Although the web has changed much of how we live and work, digital entrepreneurs wanting to start businesses have yet to see an update to business organization law that reflects their needs as a new geographically dispersed class of entrepreneurs. But the state of Vermont changed all of that during its last legislative cycle by providing, for the first time, a legal home for virtual companies. That's where today's guest comes in. Oliver Goodenough is a professor of law at Vermont Law School and a faculty fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society here at Harvard University, where he's co-director of the Law Lab Project. As an expert on the impact of digital technologies on law, he's also one of the minds behind Vermont's virtual business laws and the Digital LLC, a web-based software platform that allows entrepreneurs to form and manage an LLC entirely online. He spoke with guest interviewer Zeba Khan about where technology and business law meet.
Before we get into the digital side of the law, would you give listeners a bit of a history on business organization law itself and how it relates to innovation and growth?
Business organization law has developed markedly over the last two or three centuries. If you think about it, people, when they want to start up a business, when they want to take a new idea and develop it, will generally need more than just themselves. The moment you have either some employees or even more important, some partners in that kind of enterprise where you bring something to the table, someone else brings something to the table, we need to have an organization. We need to have some kind of format within which that can be structured. What gives the kind of certitude that people need really to launch out and take big risks with their lives, take big risks with their money, is some way to be assured that the law is there to back you. So a business organization really is, in legal terms, a set of formal structures that memorialize people's deals about things like money contributed, money taken back out, voting, when they can sell, when they can buy, all of that kind of thing, which are the core issues for people in a business. The availability of those structures has been growing over time. The classic form for that was the partnership. The partnership, at least in Anglo-American law, partnership was a set of laws that meant that if we came together as co-owners of a business, we had certain expectations for each other, certain voting rights, certain rights to withdraw money. But we also had the ability, even in early days, to create some of our own rules. If I'm to take two-thirds and you're one-third, or you're to have two-thirds of the vote and I'm to have one-third of the vote, we can make those arrangements within a partnership structure using partnership law and partnership agreements as a ways to do that. Now, against that background, we start to see bigger structures coming into place. These bigger structures involve more people, people who aren't directly involved in the business on a day-to-day basis, people putting up capital as kind of silent partners, as people who aren't active in any way other than a financial contribution. And that really stretched the partnership structure, because the partnership was really aimed at a small group of people who know each other well and are able to interact on that basis. What was developed then was the corporation. And the corporation comes about not to do those small, tightly knit structures, but to involve hundreds of people, thousands of people, millions of people. And the development of corporations as a legal option was partly behind the explosion of the Industrial Revolution and economic development that we see in the 19th and 20th centuries. And indeed, that development has been called as important as any single invention. A steam engine, yes, important. All those other things important. But if you can't have a way to aggregate the capital together to develop those and deploy them as an economic proposition, you can't get the kind of scale that much of the Industrial Revolution depended upon.
So what exactly is digital LLC?
A digital LLC is the use of law and technology together to create a new form for running a business. An LLC stands for Limited Liability Company, and it is a form of business organization. And law allows us now to create these in a fully digitized form rather than a paper-based form. And that really, the marriage of that technology with the existing law of LLCs is the digital LLC.
What you've described about the new sort of a fully digitized formation of an organization, a business structure, it sounds like your work in Vermont with the law there. And I'd love to hear you talk about that law and its process of what it is and how it came about. How does that apply to sort of taking us to the next step?
Well, we've been very lucky in Vermont. I'm from Vermont. I work with the Vermont legislature on business organization questions. Vermont is a lovely small state where the legislature is open to ideas. And you can go and talk with them. You can make suggestions. You can work with them. I was lucky enough in this project to be able to work with them and some folks from the Vermont Bar Association and some other groups around to really examine what it would take to make a traditional business organization law, corporation or LLC, and turn it into a digital or virtual corporation or LLC law. And it's actually not all that much, as we discovered. We approached the project with three principles in mind. The first principle was that you should be able to use digital media as your means of interfacing with the state in projects like setting up a company, in filing various kinds of annual reports. All of that should be digitized. And that's not a new idea to this project. Vermont now has authorized all of that, but also other states have moved in that direction as well. So the digital interface with the state is one piece of it. The second of the three steps is to authorize any form of digital communication to be used for the formal interaction of people in an LLC or a corporation. So currently, shareholders in the traditional corporation get some kind of paper notice of a meeting. They show up in person. Or you can do things by teleconference. So you can call into a meeting. Okay, well, that's a step forward. You can be there virtually and through a teleconference. Or you can fax a document. I mean, these are the kinds of steps that have occurred in many laws. And some laws have even moved to being accepting of certain kinds of email transactions and that kind of thing for notices. As far as we know, Vermont's step on this was a step forward, which was to authorize any sequentially structured digital communication as being a permissible form for a formal interaction. So you can have a meeting that you Twitter to each other. You can have a meeting in which you do it through a chat room or a workspace. You can have a meeting that you do via Skype. You can have, there are all of these different ways that people communicate, and they do it with their with all kinds of their day to day life. They do it with all kinds of business interactions. They do it with their banks. Why not do it as a means, authorize it at any rate, as a means for companies to have their formal meetings take place? And so we just say you can authorize these if you want. We don't mandate they have to, but the law does say if you want to authorize some of these, you can. So you can say, let's have a meeting on the 23rd. And instead of being there, you say, yeah, we'll all Twitter. Cool. You know, you can tweet back and forth your meeting to each other as long as it's structured, as long as everybody gets the distribution and deliberations can take place in the way deliberations now take place, which is online or through some other kind of digitized media. So that was the second of the three steps. The third of the three steps was, to me, the most conceptually interesting, and that is to make this move to say that the originals of agreements and bylaws and all of those agreed means of proceeding within these formalities can be software. So instead of having a written set of bylaws that we refer to, we can now agree to use Bylaw Maker 2.0. And Bylaw Maker 2.0 will have a set of structures and things we can do, and it will then be the means not only for keeping track, but also for gathering all of this sequentially structured information. So when we send our tweets, Bylaws 2.0 will be the manager of the tweets and will keep a record. It will count the votes. It will decide when a vote's necessary. It will tell us all of these things. It will automate all of that formal structure. In a classic corporation, those minutes are classically drafted after the fact by some lawyer they're having to get paid to, and who knows what. Anyway, one of the things that this allows is the automation of a bunch of those kind of processes. Now, what does that all do when you put it together? Two or three things. One of them is that traditional companies become much more streamlined in their operation. That if you and I want to just set up an LLC, we can use digital means. Cool. We don't have to worry about keeping paper records and all the rest of it. Our agreement software will keep the records, will manage it for us, we'll have it available, keep our formalities straight at a relatively low cost and easy cost. But even more interesting is what this makes possible for other kinds of businesses. there's something like Wikipedia, for instance. Wikipedia isn't a business. It's set up as a nonprofit. But suppose we wanted to set up a for-profit wiki of that kind. How would we do that with a classic company? Well, with the new digitized company, you could have it set up as a corporation or an LLC. The rights of the people to be members could be kept track of digitally. How much did they contribute? How many times was their site looked at? How many times, you know, we have various different ways of measuring their participation. How much vote do they get? Do they get more vote if they're looked at more? Do they get more participation if they contribute more? We can keep track of those things. All of the communication back and forth will never be in paper. It'll all be digital. They can be full-blown participants in something that never has to have a paper involved.
Oliver Goodenough is a faculty fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society and a professor of law at Vermont Law School. He's also one of the minds behind the Digital LLC project. We spoke to him not long ago about how digital entrepreneurs can take advantage of a new virtual business law in the state of Vermont to launch virtual companies and create entirely new business structures.
How did you become interested in digital law?
I became interested in digital law really through the marriage of some existing work I was doing on how we structure productive interactions, how we use contracts, how we use property, how we use business organizations, those classic areas of the law that allow us to create private law structures around which businesses and other forms of creative interaction can take place. I became very fascinated in what happened when you migrated all of that into the digital world. The digital world is swamping us in all directions. Almost every aspect of our lives now has a digital component. And looking into how the law would fit into that was just of interest to me.
And so when you talk about corporations and LLCs and other types of forms of business organization that currently exist, why can't those meet the needs of web-based businesses?
Well, the procedures that they are based on and that they assume to be in place are procedures about voting and communication and how you file things and what constitutes a record. All of that is essentially formalized in the late 19th and early 20th century. And what it presupposes is that people will have written records that they'll sign and they'll have face-to-face meetings that they'll attend. And it's really around the printing press and the telegram. And there, one of the things that we're finding with things like Facebook and the social media, or also in the new workspace software, all of that kind of thing, is that you can use this virtual world as a way to have those kinds of communications, those interactions, all of that, which can be done now in Second Life, in Twitter, all kinds of ways to communicate with each other. And what has happened is that the laws just haven't kept pace with that. There have been some bits and pieces of changes here and there, but the overarching conceptualization of these business organizations is still in a paper and telegram world.
And so with the new laws in Vermont, the technical elements of that, how do entrepreneurs starting out, how do they take advantage of that law?
Ah, well, now you're getting into the implementation phase. And indeed, we've had a project here at Berkman to develop a version of the software that would be necessary. There are already some companies out there doing it on their own, in a sense, using off-the-shelf kinds of software, using Google Wave, other forms of interaction software that are out there. None of them really handle the entire thing soup to nuts yet. None of them will give you everything from formation through termination of a company. And we've been working on a software platform that will do exactly that, that will allow an entrepreneur, a small group of entrepreneurs, to come in and set up an LLC using some pre-designated rules, using some that they get to choose among as a means for structuring it. We're at the stage now with that where we're in beta testing. We've got it out there online, digitallc.org. We'll allow people to come in and have some fun with it and see how it works. We're collecting comments. Our project for the summer is to collect all those comments and turn it into a final version which can be used by things like existing law firms, other hosts who can provide the long-term service of maintaining the software and providing a platform for people to interact with.
It sounds to me that the current market of what's out there to sort of facilitate those sort of services, I'm thinking of LegalZoom or My Corporation, don't quite meet what you're describing.
They don't. At least so far, they have been a 21st century sales end, which gives you a 19th century product at the end. That you can go online, you can click, you can say, do this all for me. And at the end of the day, what they send you is the classic corporate kit, which is all of the paper bylaws, all of the seals and the stamps and the minute book that you keep in paper. And it's so that the front end, yes, the very, very efficient services in many ways, but it's just that front end piece. The entire administration is then still back in terms of the old-fashioned paper-based world.
Do you see this having ramifications in other countries in terms of law? Are there already ramifications of similar?
Absolutely, because on two or three levels. One of them is you're beginning to see interest of this in this kind of thing in other countries as well. Amusingly, Iceland, I just happen to be aware of, has specifically adopted a plan in which they've quoted the fact that they're basing it on that nice innovation out of Vermont. They're desperate to restart their economy. They've always been, at least in the last decade or two, they've been forward-thinking about some of these things. In the UK, there's an initiative not around for-profit companies, but around nonprofits. And indeed, just in this last session, Vermont passed similar rules for nonprofit corporations, so that nonprofits now have the opportunity to work in this same kind of digitized way, which is, I think, very important for nonprofits. People on nonprofit boards frequently are busy. If we can make that work a little more streamlined for them, that's a great thing to be able to add. In addition to just adoptions around the world, one of the things that this also makes possible is what we might think of as kind of a cloud law approach, that not only can it work well for folks in Vermont, but the Vermont law can work well for folks in all kinds of places in the United States, if they aren't too concerned about some of the border and tax issues, in all places around the world. The availability of a good, non-corrupted legal system that is able to give you a reliable structure now becomes a matter of, do we have access on the web? Do we have access on our mobile phone? There's no reason not to have a mobile phone app that would execute all of this. So from a global standpoint, it's not just that other places are beginning to adopt some similar notions. It will be the fact that there's the potential for delivering excellent institutional bases for innovation and growth anywhere that there's access to a digital space, whether it's the web or a mobile phone platform.
You've talked about in your writings this potential for a Cambrian explosion of new business forms. Is looking at a Wikipedia model or some of these other sort of the possibilities of where we could be going in the future?
We are, I think, on the verge of the same kind of explosion in new thinking and new forms through digital means that the printing press and the telegram made possible a century and a half ago. That the 19th century found all of these new ways to set up companies using corporate forms, trust forms, partnership forms. A whole set of financing instruments come into place. The latter part of the 19th century sees all kinds of new stock possibilities. The kind of business finance that we see in the 20th century, fueling the massive growth in the economies in the US, Western Europe, Japan, various places around the world, because of a set of innovations that took place in the 19th century and early 20th century. And we've basically been playing out the possibilities for organization of bringing finance and talent and all those things together. There is no reason to think that we've found everything. And indeed, there's every reason to think we're just beginning to find some new ways. In addition to traditional kinds of enterprise, folks like David Johnson or Yochai Benkler are thinking about the whole new wealth of networks, as Benkler's book is entitled. And these networks will become different ways of cooperating, different ways of bringing people together to create productive value, peer-to-peer kinds of exchanges, certain kinds of software projects, all kinds of knowledge-based and information-based industries exist because small contributions are made by many, many people. For instance, social networking software. The value of that is not so much created by the computer at the center. Yeah, somebody had to have a clever idea and some decent software. But it's created by the fact that everybody joins it. Well, if they're creating all that value, why aren't they the owners? Well, it could be. That could be a way of working. Cooperatives to do certain kinds of software projects. There are all kinds of different ways of bringing together knowledge and people that the web is making possible. The trick with that will be to figure out the kinds of structures that will let people feel comfortable making contributions and getting their due return back.
Oliver, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Oliver Goodenough is a professor of law at Vermont Law School and a faculty fellow at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society. So what do you think about Vermont's new virtual business laws? Throw us a comment on our blog at blogs.law.harvard.edu/mediaberkman, where you can also find links to more of Oliver's work, as well as a link to the test site for the Digital LLC. This episode of Radio Berkman was produced by me with Zeba Khan this week, with special thanks to the Law Lab at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts.